when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show. The best soccer show in the whole world.
Go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, live on a Sunday night, hanging out, talking soccer in America, because that's what we like to do, and that's what you like to listen to. And there you go. That's the bottom line.
Some people hate it.
Some people hate listen, hate watch.
I think you know that scene in what's the Private Parts of the Howard Stern movie, the WNBC movie?
Oh, that movie. The movie that this
WNBC.
Covers.
WNBC.
Jared, you know I have a radio show? You know I was on the radio? I have a radio show.
Yeah, I hear that's the place where you get trolled, unlike here where I get trolled. But I think that there's a percentage of the audience that just listens because it upsets them.
But that's
and I think that's how you know when you've made it.
That's every. That's literally everything made by anybody ever. That's how that works. There are some people who listen and love and watch because they love it, and some people who want to be angry about everything we say. That's fine.
That's kind of indicative of the U.S. national team fandom in general. We watch because half the time it angers us, right?
Yeah, you know what? The day that stops being an issue is the day that we win. Never mind. We can win a World Cup and people would still be yelling about everything, right? Like, oh, you.
Oh, then there'd be a whole half of the country like, soccer still sucks.
Well, that's true. Then we have to go to war. And then we all pick up our choose our weapons. Like we did with the
medieval. There's not enough Ted Lasso in America to make us ever really truly like soccer.
I think it's growing and all those things. I don't want to talk about it in depth.
Dude, you know, this isn't your definition of adulting, but I did some adulting under my definition this weekend.
I did financial planning today. Was that the adulting you did?
See, you assume all adulting is boring stuff you have to do.
I consider
adulting things that I'm doing without my kids, that gets planned, stuff I only do with my other adult significant other.
That can also be adulting, but I think most people think of it as the things that you have to do, not the things you want to do, right?
Well, I had to take my wife to wine country this
weekend. Did you? You had to. Okay.
It was either that or a divorce. I mean, it was one of the two.
It was dramatic, right? Yeah, absolutely.
No, maybe not that dramatic, but still. Your boy spent the weekend at wine country, so that means I'm just literally catching up on all the world soccer action over game recaps and watching, because if I had turned the TV on,
you didn't get up at it would be about 7 o'clock your time this morning to flip over, and you can't do this. This is why it's funny. Flip over to ESPN Plus, only available on streaming, and watch El Clasico between Barcelona and Real Madrid with an American player on the field, starting at right wing, Sergiño Dest.
So is the issue there, what you're trying to say, is that it wasn't on the air, so that's a problem?
You know, I saw some people complaining
about
this.
Who watches stuff on the air anymore?
It was weird. It was like, oh, I can't believe this game's not over the air. They should have put it on ABC. I mean, I guess they could have. It's a 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern time start. There's no college football yet.
What was ABC showing instead?
No, NFL. It's Sunday. No NFL yet, obviously. ABC doesn't have any NFL until they don't.
Nicky Super Salad, do you got a TV guide sitting next to you? You live in Ohio. You still use TV guides, right? What was showing on ABC at 7 a.m. this morning? Like, was it like a Flobee commercial? What was going on?
In Toledo, Ohio, what was showing on ABC at 7 o'clock in the morning? Or say 10 o'clock in the morning?
It was probably like Bassmasters or something.
Probably. Hunting show.
To be fair, I was not in town.
No.
I was...
Thanks for rolling with the bit, Nick.
Attending a Bassmasters competition.
Leaning into the bit a little bit and helping us out here. Look, Sergiño Dest started as a winger. Jared, this is now three games in a row, I believe, under Ronald Koeman that he has started as a winger.
I want to say two, but maybe it's three.
I think it's three. I think his best showing was against Valencia. Everybody knows that Sergiño Dest is an incredible, gifted, technical footballer. Like, he does things with the ball that make your jaw drop. He is not the best defender, and so it would only be natural to think, let's take that guy and move him up the field and turn him from a fullback with questionable defending into an attacking player who only has
questionable
to think about
finishing.
That. Well, that was his issue today. An absolute a sitter for him, a ball that was on a platter from
like
Memphis Depay, to Ansu Fati, right there for him. It's bobbling a little bit. I'm not saying it's like...
No, but here's my thing, though, for people that haven't seen it. So you, I'm assuming everyone has seen the USA game where he put one in the top corner, left foot, dipping, beautiful left-footed strike with a right-footed player. This is the same player today who had to completely run around his left foot take it with his right and then skied it instead of hitting on the natural side he should have with
his
left foot.
It's, hold on.
From eight yards.
It's not ridiculous to let the ball run across your body, open up, and try to play the ball to the near post rather than put it across the goalkeeper to the far post.
It's not ridiculous, but you're also giving the keeper that much more time to set up because you're waiting for the ball to go across.
You're talking about a split second, and the keeper is already trying to track the ball that Fati has just touched and slowed down. The keeper is beaten. I mean, at least in my
issue
mind.
With that dude is that the defender was able to close down pretty quickly and actually put a little bit of pressure by the end by letting it go across his body to his right foot.
Maybe, but Serginho just should have scored that goal. And I say should have, knowing, and I thought about this as soon as he missed, because of course I ran to Twitter and like, damn it, Serginho, like, I can't believe that. I thought immediately, like, we as viewers, and, you know, most of us have played at some point, not at high levels, not in front of 100,000 people in Barcelona, whatever fit into the camp new these days, we think that is supposed to be a goal every single time. But if goals were easy or if goals were converted the way that we think they're supposed to, every game would be 5-4 or 6-3.
The thing you extrapolate from this, though, is that, okay, then if Serginho Dest can't finish this, then he probably shouldn't be at that position, right? Because if you're new at the position, they're trying you out in a new place on the field, you're literally in the easiest place to score you're probably going to see this season. And you didn't.
Oh,
finish.
He's not going to have he's not going to have a better chance. That's true. He'll probably score some. And I had somebody immediately on Twitter say, "Oh,
and it just happens to be El Clasico.
The man is bangers only. Like, he only does bangers. There's no tap ins. There's no, you know, ball played across the face of goal beating Courtois. It's only bangers for Serginho Dest. That's what he does.
The man doesn't do quickies.
The man doesn't score. He doesn't put in layups. He puts in reverse 360s. Like, you know." Why would you mess around with that, I guess?
But here's the thing, this has opened up. By him playing the last few games at Barcelona at right wing, it's opened up the conversation about the U.S. national team. Reyna's hurt. Pulisic conceivably may not be ready for this next window as well. You have a winger issue. Do you start considering Serginho Dest for right wing? And does Greg Berhalter, like, does he see it this way? It does, like you said, the right back position has become a little bit of an issue lately.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from a creativity standpoint, from a defensive standpoint. So does it solve a problem in getting Serginho Dest on the field?
Yeah.
And also solve a second problem of avoiding his defending? Are we at that point where Greg Berhalter is actually maybe considering this?
I don't know. Greg hasn't called me to let me know his thinking on this. I haven't gotten any text messages from him. I have to wait to see if he'll say something. Maybe to Bobby Warshaw on the new whatever podcast. I don't know. I think it feels like something to consider. I just don't know if it is the Mexico game you should consider it in. Now
that's the tough part.
You've argued with me recently when I've said, "Oh, go to a double pivot because you can't always cover for Tyler Adams, or go to a double pivot if you think it's going to help slow down Mexico, particularly through midfield." Blah blah blah. And you always argue, "Don't. Why are you changing stuff last minute? You don't have a lot of time to train it together. Why not just go with what you know, even if it's not perfect?" Right. That's always been our, so is a positional shift for a player like Dest, who has literally never played higher than fullback for the U.S. men's national team. He's played as a wingback.
To tackle the issue you just brought up, changing to a formational change is way tougher for a team than just moving one player's position and playing the same formation.
But you're also talking about responsibilities, understanding of partnerships, where people are going to be on the field, how they like to play, all those things, and you're going to try to enact that in the biggest game of the window biggest game of qualifying so far. The most monumental. Whether it's the most important is kind of debatable because, you know, you're not going to really presume all the points against Mexico. But at home against Mexico, in a game you want to win because it will send you towards Qatar 2022 and because
I'm going to flip it the other way. I think the Mexico game might be the game to do it because, A, Mexico, unlike most of the teams in this region, even at home, we're worried defensively that Mexico could beat us, right? You're worried putting Serginho Dest on the field against Mexico is a defensive liability. It's okay. Not as much of a defensive liability against Jamaica or something like that. Against Mexico, it's a sure. defensive liability to put him on the field. So maybe Mexico is the game to do that because you okay. want him on the field okay. to create, but you don't want the liability
well,
of defense.
I do like the idea that Dest is up the field and pinning Mexico back on that side. Like, I like the mm-hmm. idea that, and, you know, I don't know, if you're playing Serginho Dest there, are you asking for your fullback to stay at home? Now, Jackie just said something that you put in our put on screen here. We still have Weah, we still have Aronson, we still have Conrad De La Fuente, we still have Matthew Hoppe, if Berhalter wants to play him on the wing.
Did not dress for Mallorca this weekend.
That's troubling, right now, ahead of World Cup qualifying in November. Yeah. But you have, on paper, you have options at yeah. the wing position. Maybe not... Maybe not as many wing options as you would like, but you have options. Right back. Where are we with right back right now? It's Yedlin and Dest. Is there anybody else? Am I missing somebody?
Joe
Scally. New to the team. And look, I'm at this point, I'm like, yeah.
Would you play Serginho Dest at right wing if it meant having a place for Joe Scally on the field?
Well, I'm not desperate to throw Joe Scally to the Wolves against Mexico.
Out of everyone we could blame right now, Shaq Moore, DeAndre Yedlin, Serginho Dest, I throw Reggie Cannon. I'm going to keep Reggie Cannon out
No, you can't. You can't.
You have those three.
I've played
Joe
more
Scally.
Minutes recently than Reggie
out of
Cannon
those four
has.
I just named, which is the best, which defender, which right back do you
Scally's
have
the
most
the best
defensive confidence in?
Fullback in that scenario. Scally is.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't make this roster. If he doesn't make this roster, I think Berhalter
no,
really kind of messed
be,
up.
He'll be in the roster. And I'm just, that's me partly having some faith. You know, Saint GGG or whatever. We're not sainting, we're not turning him into a saint. But Greg, please, you know, do the right thing and bring Joe Scally. I think he'll make the right choice there. But that's also because his hand is forced a little bit.
But you mentioned with Dest, the ability to pin defenders back and get to the end line. Isn't that what Tim Weah does, though? I mean, to me, I feel like... If you have Tim Weah, does Serginho Dest, is he really that much of an upgrade over Tim Weah that you have to sit Tim Weah? It's a tough one because maybe Berhalter still sees Weah as a 30-minute player.
Now you're arguing that Dest starts at fullback, right? Because Dest has to be on the field, doesn't he? Or are you sitting Serginho Dest in a game against Mexico at home in Cincinnati? Are you?
Man, it depends what lineup and what other players he's going to be on the field. I think it's situational. I think you think
like
he's
me.
A lock?
Such a
you think he's a lock?
Sound like me.
Duh and or hello.
I understand.
Just so you know, I wasn't trying to argue that Dest should be right winger. I was just having a conversation about it.
Okay, but it's obviously in the ether because he's playing there for his club and because the U.S. has been hit by injuries. If Gio Reyna was available, and by the way, a shot of Gio Reyna on the field in Austin with his dad walking around after a game indicates that Gio was in the U.S. rehabbing whatever injury he's dealing with, the hamstring injury he's dealing with.
That's not good.
No, I don't think that's good. It's certainly not good for November, right? I think we have to already check off and put aside.
I think what that tells us is that Gio Reyna is not expected back till January. He's home for the holidays.
Come on. He can get on
Why wouldn't Borussia Dortmund want to have him there rehabbing at their facility where they can look him over?
I'm sure. Okay. I just don't think you can presume he's not going back to Germany until after their winter break. I don't think you can presume that. Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know. I just think you can't presume that. Now, Gio, we kind of knew. Gio's been reported as he's not going to play in November. Christian Pulisic is a little bit of a different story. Now, that is, you know, it's a different injury. It's an ankle injury versus a hamstring injury. The ankle injury should heal, you know.
Stanley Tucci makes it sound like it's kind of he's had a few setbacks in the recovery.
Yes, he's talked about, he looks like he's going to come back and then he has some pain. And Stanley Tucci keeps saying things like, I'm not going to say anything anymore because you guys will call me a liar, but I'm not a liar. We just don't know.
This is like when Fauci said you don't have to wear a mask when he was trying to make sure masks didn't all disappear for medical personnel.
Okay, I don't know what I don't want to get. What
now?
We doing
a year
now?
Later, 2 years later, I was like, "You said not to wear masks."
If you go into Alex Jermaine Jones, I'm quitting this show tonight. I'm not doing any of that, are we? That's not what's happening on this show today.
Right, I wish we knew the true nature of Gio Reyna's injury. No one wants to tell you. The big media, they don't want you to know what the current status of that hamstring is. If they just take some of this hamstring 3000 that we sell on our website at InfoWars.
It's definitely a lizard people question, right? That's the reason that the reason that the injury has been lingering so long. The lizard people, the smell of sulfur off of Stanley Tucci and Marco Rosa, who needs a name now. I don't know. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Felix in Chicago, who's becoming our one of our key regulars here. Felix, what you got, man?
Hi, what's going on, guys? It's great when I don't have to wait on hold either for 45 minutes. I wanted to talk about what you guys were just bringing up, which is, Dest at right wing. My thoughts are it's convenient, right? I'm tentative too to say go ahead and start him at right wing, especially against Mexico. We have no idea how that's going to go. It's our toughest opponent, in region. But at the same time, with the prolonged injuries of Pulisic and Reyna, it's convenient that Dest is playing at right wing right now, and then at right back. I'm not really sure who to play. I know it's a name that nobody really wants to say. Shaq Moore has been starting again with Tenerife, so this idea that he's not playing, so why are we even talking about him? He is playing now. He's been playing since actually he came back from the October window. Yedlin's been getting regular minutes, and then I know everyone's just enamored with Joe Scally. I don't like the idea of throwing him to the Wolves against Mexico. That I feel like you're just setting the kid up for failure. If he does bad, I think just like
Go ahead. You're talking about Joe Scally. His first professional appearance in the Bundesliga was against Bayern Munich. The guy has been thrown to the Wolves before, and he's shown well. Aren't we kind of making U.S. Mexico a little more than it is, especially a home version of it? If you think he can jump in against Bayern Munich in his first game, but he can't jump in against Mexico
before Felix says anything, I'm just going to point out
how does he look in training.
That's so there's that too, right? The training factor here. He had months of building up to the moment of getting into the senior team at Gladbach, getting an opportunity to play. They knew him there, they trusted him there. I'm not saying that Berhalter won't trust him, but Berhalter's never had the guy in camp and at senior level. He's never gotten a chance to see how he works with his teammates. He doesn't know what the communication is going to be like with the right center back or with Tyler Adams or with the guy in front of him. I think that's a factor, right?
I guess it's a factor,
yeah,
but
he's
at the same time, he's a professional.
He's a professional. He's an 18-year-old professional, 19-year-old professional now?
A whole team of those, Jason.
I know you do, but those guys have played together enough already, even in 2021, that at least they have an understanding with one another. I'm sure they would welcome Joe Scally with open arms.
So what's the difference between Chris Richards and him? Chris Richards came right in and started a game last window.
That's a good point. Felix, any rebuttal to that?
And Chris Richards, and I would argue Chris Richards didn't look amazing. So throwing another one out there is not my idea of success. Throwing another young 18-year-old. I mean, Joe Scally has had, I don't even think he's played 15 first division games, and we're talking about him like he's going to be playing for the next 10 years. You guys have been following the U.S. as long as I have. How many of these young guys do we get all geeked out about, and then we throw them to the Wolves, and then it turns out they are not the next great big thing, and then we just, okay, whatever, let's get done with that one. Who's the next one?
I get your point, Felix. I think your point is well-founded, but I think the only reason we're talking about Joe Scally is the fact that Dest doesn't look good defensively. Yedlin doesn't look good defensively. Moore doesn't look good defensively in their last showings for the U.S. national team. So it's not like any other player ahead of him is making you feel comfortable at the right back position. That's the reason we're talking about Joe Scally, not because we're anxious to get the next popular guy on the field. There really doesn't look like there's a good defensive option in any three of those.
Well, I do think that, if you're good enough, you're old enough is a fairly good piece of wisdom. I think you have to consider just, again, the familiarity. But at the same time, if you are desperate, you're desperate. Like, what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to deal with this It probably means DeAndre Yedlin starts at right back or Virginia Dest starts up top. It probably does. I don't think that's great, but it's maybe because of experience, at least a little bit more palatable to Berhalter and some people, and you have Scally in reserve.
Yeah, Daniel's saying this. Scally could be the next Pepe in a position of need. I mean, Pepe, we rushed in a bit, right?
Well, here's the thing about that. Scally plays a position that is going to be exposed if he's bad, right? If he is bad, or he struggles, or he can't get to the pace of the game, or he just gets blown out by Mexico, we're going to all go, oh, Joe Scally. If Ricardo Pepe goes missing, okay, look, we've had forwards go missing before, right? If Ricardo Pepe doesn't touch the ball, oh, well, maybe it's the service that lacked for Ricardo Pepe. He can have one moment, right? One moment of brilliance, score a goal, and everybody loves Ricardo Pepe. Joe Scally can't do that. He can't hide at that position. I'm not saying forwards can hide necessarily, but we were so desperate.
And
that,
remember,
that
a moment of brilliance makes you forget 30 bad minutes.
That's exactly right. Go ahead,
Felix. Exactly. And Scally, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to talk over you guys. My apologies. And Scally is going to, if we're talking about Scally or anybody, remember, they're going against Chucky Lozano in that game against Mexico, right? That's Chucky Lozano's part of the field. I mean, like you said, Pepe can go missing for 89 minutes. He hits one big goal. Pepe's the greatest. Scally goes missing for 89 minutes. We're losing 5-0.
So Scally did go up against Sané, you know, and did just fine, put him in his pocket.
He's had some good moments. He has. Now, someone talked about expectations. Yeah, I'm going to let you go, Felix, because I got another call I want to get to. But somebody talked about expectations. If Gladbach goes up in a game against Bayern Munich with Joe Scally at right back, they're not saying, oh, we have to get this game. We have to win this game. They're basically hoping to scrape a draw against Bayern Munich. That's their dream, right? Scrape a draw against
Bayern
Munich.
Which means they're really depending on Scally then, because they're trying to keep
the
draw.
Sure, that's true. But also, the United States is supposed to win a game at home against Mexico. I mean, you know, we don't know really where we are.
And I know we're going to get to the color right now, too, but just to go back to the Dest thing real quick, one thing we need to all remember, too.
First of all, can I say something? We have this we have this loaded up. I just realized it says left-hand side. It's not where we want him. We want him on the right. We got to get.
Well, I mean, that's what the whole point of the drop originally was.
To the right-hand side. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay, go ahead.
With Dest, though, one thing we all need to remember is that Coleman is putting Dest at right wing because he's hitting the emergency buttons already. Barcelona's in ninth place.
He's
did you see his
glass.
Car being accosted on the leaving the stadium today?
I did not.
Coleman is throwing everything against the wall. So let's just remember that the reason Dest is playing right wing is because Coleman's trying to find any way to keep his job right now.
Yeah, there is something. Okay, so a couple of things before we move on. And, again, this was about Dest, but it can also be the knock-on effect here. A couple of people asking about Brian Reynolds. What is he up to? Well, he's up to playing in the Europa Conference League for Roma against Bodo Glimt. And that's not how you pronounce that, but that's what I'm going with. And getting waxed 6-1. Now, I didn't watch the game. I don't exactly know how much Brian Reynolds was complicit in 6 goals from a Norwegian team against Roma. And Jose Mourinho admitted to playing like his second choice guys, and then he complained about how he doesn't have enough depth in his team. Just ridiculous. And I feel bad for Brian because I'm not sure that he is ready for Roma and challenging for Champions League spots in Serie A, but he shouldn't be thrown to the wolves and sacrificed either. And neither should any of those players at Roma. Jose's just the worst. He's just the worst.
I think he got red carded today, didn't he?
I don't know. The guy's terrible. He's just, could be wrong. At this point, like, he's just such a black cloud. Let's see. This is, I don't see an issue of starting Joe Scally against Mexico. If it was Mexico on the road, it'd be different. I still don't think you take Dest out of the back line, to be honest. So there's that. And then we had an interesting, this is from Steve, and I'm going to throw this one at you. Actually, no, that's not what. That's not the one I want. This
one.
Yeah,
it's the other one for him.
So here you go, Jared. And we haven't done one in a while. It's been a long time since Tyler Adams played right back, but he can play right back. Tyler Adams at right back or Joe Scally at right back against Mexico, if you had to choose one?
That is the easiest decision I've been given all night. It's Joe Scally, because literally if you move Tyler Adams to right back, it starts a cacophony of chain reactions all the way up the field.
I don't think that's... Did you get your word of the day calendar wrong or something? Cacophony of chain reactions?
I know words.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
It just starts a domino effect all through the field. Okay, then this person to replace this one. This one to replace this one. And it just, you end up overthinking. And this is a Berhalter kind of move, though. A very overthought change to a lineup. And I just don't see how moving Tyler Adams from anywhere. We've had multiple discussions about Tyler Adams is the most important player on the field for the United States.
I mean, look, even if you thought there was somebody ready to step in, Kellen Acosta looked terrible against Panama. I don't think anybody's ready to throw him back out there and see. And look, he did acquit himself very well against Mexico in the Gold Cup final. And you do give him credit for that. But you still don't want to move Tyler Adams off that spot. And if you have any idea that Gianluca Busio somehow is that guy, well, he got hurt this weekend, and we don't exactly know what his prognosis is.
He was helped
is.
Off the field at halftime or
so
something.
So we've got injury issues that have now suddenly cropped up all over the place, and it makes you wonder, you know, what this is going to look like when we get to November 12th. I mean, I wanted to believe, Jared, that we were going to have the best 11 that the United States could field. That ain't going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen for a couple of reasons, but it ain't going to happen in the front line at the very least.
Yeah, I'm hoping that with the holiday break going into January, that's enough time to get Reyna and Pulisic back on the field, because I don't expect to see either one of them on November 12th.
No, I think is where we're at. And by the way, a name we haven't mentioned, and I know people aren't high on him being the first choice or maybe even the second choice guy in the position, but Jossie Zardes is now out for at least 2 to 4 weeks with an MCL injury. And I'll tell you what. Yeah. I want Ricardo Pepi to play as many minutes as he can for the United States men's national team. I think he's the most goal-dangerous player we have to throw up there. But it's nice to have Jossie Zardes around. Like you can't just not have a striker backup, Jared. And who else is it? Is Daryl DK scored today? Is it Daryl DK the guy? I scored a penalty kick. It's PFOC.
Who's actually pulled to halftime this weekend. But
so you're just giving me all kinds of rainbows and sunshine and puppy dogs now. Thank you for that. It's great. I feel great.
I mean, there's also the Matthew Hoppe. We've yet to see him actually play the nine. So maybe this is an opportunity for him. But for me, I would take DK and PFOC, but potentially
so,
his backup.
So hold on.
I don't think Josh Sargent gets anywhere near it still.
Matthew Hoppe, who maybe plays as a dual striker in a dual striker system at Mallorca when he's on the field, but hasn't played center forward for the U.S. men's national team. But also didn't dress this weekend for Mallorca, that's a guy you're going to throw out there and be like, hey, maybe he can play the nine. That's where we're at.
Well, but first of all, we don't know why he didn't dress. He could have a small knock or something like that. We
maybe
don't know
COVID protocols or something. You're right. I don't know.
It could be a number of different things. We don't know why he didn't dress right now.
Could be a number of different things.
I'm just saying there's no great answer to any of this. But obviously, Berhalter's thought enough of him to bring him into the last camp. So if Josh Sargent doesn't seem to be featuring, this team lost 7-0, I think, over the week, or 7-1 over the weekend. I mean, he's in a terrible club situation
right now. How does Fark still have a job, by the way? How does the manager of Norwich still have a job? Does he have a job right now, or did I miss him getting fired? How is that possible?
I haven't heard anything about it, so I don't know.
I mean, this is the guy who caused a firestorm because he told somebody that the reason Josh Sargent wasn't called in the national team is because they wanted to focus on MLS players, which is ridiculous considering Josh Sargent had not scored any goals for Norwich, was not playing well, and wasn't even playing as a center forward under the guy who said these words.
You know, with Zardes out and the winger situation, what it is, Busio potentially being out, I think this you really kind of need to bring in a player that can potentially cover a number of different positions. And when I think of that right now in the U.S. system, a guy I'd like to see get a shot, not to start, but just to bring along, is Jesus Ferreira, a guy that can play a number of different areas in the field up front.
Wow.
And you think about the combination and the partnership with Ricardo Pepi.
Right.
I think
Ferreira
might get another look here at some point.
You're not
going to
deploy Jesus Ferreira in the same area of the field that he plays at FC Dallas, and FC Dallas is bad.
No, but
that.
At the same time, let's say this guy could play winger. He could play a nine if he needed to. He could play behind the nine as a creative midfielder if he needed to. But Jesus Ferreira is a very durable, a very dynamic player. He can play a lot of different positions in that front area.
I understand that. Okay, so Frank at Orange County, why are we even talking about bringing players who just came off of injuries? CONCACAF players know this and will try to take off their legs. Be smart, leave them out even if they are at 70 or 80%. I'm not saying, look, if Christian Pulisic said tomorrow, I'm healthy, I might still say don't call him up. I kind of agree with Frank on that. Giovanni Reyna looks nowhere near the field. Not going to worry about him. Jossie Zardes is nowhere near the field now, 2 to 4 weeks out. Not going to worry about him. Who else are we talking about coming off of injury that we might try to force into this team? I think we're just saying, right now, use the players that are healthy and figure out a configuration that works. I mean, if we try to do a starting 11 against Mexico right now, Jared, what would it look like for you? Could you do it off the top of your head?
Knowing what we think, just assuming all the injuries that we know out there.
Impromptu 11,
right?
Let's do it. Impromptu 11.
Impromptu 11 is going to be Matt Turner in the back.
Okay.
Easy for me, Matt Turner. Mm-hmm. Dude's going to see shots. That's just the way it is. He's going to see shots. Next one, Anthony Robinson on the left-hand side. Miles Robinson next to that. John Brooks, despite having another kind of rough time at Wolfsburg this last week, I'm still taking John Brooks at that position right now.
If healthy, but he's healthy now, so yes.
I'm going with Joe Scalia right back.
Okay, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'm not 100% on board, and here's one of the reasons why.
I kind of like the idea of Serginho Dest coming off the bench, tired legs, later on in the game.
Okay, well, now I don't know. I still think you need Dest on the field. I think he's going to scare the crap out of Mexico, and I think they're going to have to account for him.
I think he scares the crap out of me on defense.
Sure, but without Pulisic on the field, you don't have a gravity guy. You don't have a guy that's going to pull players around the field as he moves with the ball. So... okay, if you're taking Dest out, well, then I'm not on board with Scalia. But if you're going to put Dest in the lineup as a right forward,
I'm not
a right winger.
Who are you putting in the right back?
Well, I know you're going to go with Tim Weah. Well, in this case, if it's still my 11, I'm taking Serginho Dest at right back. I'm putting Serginho Dest at right back. Go ahead.
Okay, MMA midfield, as Steve Douglas says here.
Now, MMA midfield, although... we were just ahead of the show. We're talking about getting ready for this. We mentioned Weston McKennie got another. By the way, Maxi Allegri sent some real mixed messages. That dude is confusing the hell out of me. It sounds like he doesn't believe in McKennie. He talks about the goals he's not scoring, and then he continues to start the kid. And obviously, the Juve fans have turned on the dude completely. So they draw with Inter Milan because Dybala scores a penalty late, and I know that Inzaghi was pissed and got sent off. I didn't get a chance to watch much of the game. I know McKennie, you know, did his McKennie things, and that splits people. Are you on board with Weston McKennie being a starter for the U.S. men's national team right now in his current form?
Yeah, with Busio, I'm assuming injured, yes.
Okay. All right, so that's the MMA midfield. Your forward line, please.
On the left-hand side, we got Brandon Aaronson. Middle, I got Pepe. Right side, I got Weah.
Okay, so I'm going to throw Serginho Dest in at right wing. I want to see what that looks like. So
against Mexico.
Oh, sorry, I already put him in my right back. You're right. Tim Weah is up my starting right winger with Serginho Dest in my back line. You're starting Scali and Weah and leaving Dest on the bench.
I think with Robinson and Dest, that's a lot of exposure because Robinson likes to go forward as well on the left-hand side. Tyler Adams can only cover one of those two spots.
This is true. I know, and you risk the center backs getting split, and yeah, Raul Jimenez and... I understand. There's danger here. Now, hope you could also, you know, you could also deploy McKennie a little deeper, maybe not as a double pivot, but ask him to do more defensive work and stay in that area of the field. That means you're going to have a problem trying to link and get runners into the box, especially if you play wide with those overloads that you're going to create with Aaronson and Robinson on one side and Weah, Dest, Scali on the other side. Or Scali, Weah.
Puts out there Luca De La Torre as an option for McKennie, but he says he prefers McKennie versus Mexico as well. And we still got, I believe, Anthony from Florida online.
Oh, I've been waiting. I've been ignoring Anthony in Florida. I did not mean to do that. My sincere apologies. Anthony in Florida, since we're on this anyway. Go ahead, man.
I have a question, actually, for you guys. In terms of our system, our prospects and stuff, do we have any skill sets? Do any of the players that we have called up right now or in the system have the talent and skill set to play a system where we have right wing backs and then wingers in the front, in the forward position, have wingers and right wing backs and stuff like that.
So what are we talking about here?
Are you talking like a 4-3-3 or 3-5-2? What are you talking about with this?
3-5-2.
Well, a 3-5-2, you're not playing with wide.
You don't
forwards.
Have wingers in the front. Yeah,
yeah, you're not. You're playing with a couple.
If you're going to do a 3-5-2, then the conversation gets kind of fun when you start talking about Jesus Ferreira again. I'm just saying, like, in terms of a partner forward.
Uh huh.
Like, that's where I start thinking where this is a decent kind of guy to kind of get into there. I mean, who else are you talking about as the second striker then?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think there's anybody.
No, my mistake. 4-4-3. The 4-3-3.
You want 4-3-3? I think you're seeing it right now. I think if you're talking about guys past the guys that are, we just talked about the guys that are available for right now. Then you're having Dest and Anthony Robinson to run the wings, and you got probably Weah and Aaronson. Now, if you're talking about guys behind the guys, you're talking about prospects. That's what you were saying.
Well, I think he's
you got
I
the Conrad De La Fuente.
I think he's simply asking how can we play with wingbacks, but also with players playing wide up top. But again, you're now you're crowding space, and you I don't. We're not talking about that working in any particular way. And you're also losing bodies in midfield. So against Mexico, that's going to be a disaster. So
I mean, but all intents and purposes, we're doing that 4-3-3 with Anthony Robinson, Serginho Dest. Whether you like it or not, those are potential wingbacks playing in a 4-man set in the back.
Sure, sure.
Whether Dest is supposed to or not, he is going to play like a wingback in a 4-3-3.
No, I understand. I understand you're getting your fullbacks high up the field and they're going to play wide. I'm suggesting that when you have, I mean, you have wing forwards. I know you don't like any of this nomenclature, yeah. Jared, but you have wing forwards. But Aronson and Dest or Weah or whoever plays on the right, those players aren't going to be chalk on the boot. They're not going to stay out there on the flank and crowd the space that the fullback wants to use. They're going to drift inside. They're going to play combinations. They're going to drop off. Go ahead.
This is a good shot from Ramiro Castano in the chat. And Weah has been good as a second striker for Lille when deployed there. He's played there next to Jonathan David a few different times. I agree. I think he's looked good there as well when he's been asked to play there. So obviously Weah is an option up there as well for that 2-man set if you were to run one.
Okay. I'm going to let Anthony go. Appreciate the phone call. We do have phone lines open, 717-727-2378. I will get to you, I promise, on the issues of starting lineup against Mexico, on the formation. I know, and again, we are throwing out formations here 6 games into World Cup qualifying with questions about personnel because of injury and the potential of bringing in new bodies or throwing players into positions they haven't played before. It makes me wonder how much you can complicate this, right? And how far down this road of tinkering do we want to go, considering my major criticism of Greg Berhalter has been that the man tinkers too damn much. Stop tinkering.
But he's
right?
also been put in a position where he has to. I agree with you. You know I agree with you. I think he tinkers too much willingly. But he's also been asked to do a lot of workarounds in terms of your star players and injuries. More than maybe any other team, to be honest with you. Any other CONCACAF team that's had to do more tinkering because star injuries?
Here's a reason to start Serginho Dest as a right winger, okay? You don't without Pulisic and Reyna on the field, and I know that you just won a game without those two guys, and you figured out how to do it, and it worked, but against a very tired Costa Rica team. Without Reyna and without Pulisic on the field, you don't have an on the ball playmaker. You just don't, right? You don't have a guy who's going to, with the ball at his feet, beat a player on the dribble, find a pass, play somebody in back post, make the great run, go on his own and create a shot. Is there anybody in this team that can do that except for Serginho Dest?
I don't think there's people that do it as well as them, but I think Musa can break a line, dribble a player. You don't think Aronson can beat a guy in a dribble?
You don't think Weah can beat a guy in a dribble? I think Aronson's game is best moving into space and receiving the ball in that space. Okay. I think that Yunus Musa's best attributes are the ability to dribble and beat lines with his dribbling, but he needs to get the ball off to somebody who's going to make the final pass.
I do agree with you is that those two guys we just mentioned don't do what Pulisic and Reyna do, which is the gravity issue.
That's
pulling two guys,
that's
pulling three guys, and letting Ricardo Pepi be one-on-one.
Yes.
That's the danger. And if you want to have that conversation, I agree with you. Serginho Dest is probably the only player on the field that draws multiple players right now.
If you have
US.
Serginho Dest out there, isolated, getting the ball into space, now he's drawing two defenders, as you said. Pepe maybe now is on a single center back. He can slip in behind. He can find the back post, and you've got Serginho Dest. Now I'm not saying he's the greatest in the world at this, but he's in a position now to make that pass and define a player who knows how to get into space and make the 3-yard run that will score the goal. I'm not saying it's happening for sure against Mexico. I'm just talking about what are your options here. And I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not trying to denigrate Brendan Aaronson. I just don't think he's on the level of Pulisic or Reyna. And I think
Do you think Mexico's game planning for Dest to be a right winger?
That's interesting. I think Tata probably game plans for almost everything. And I also think that Tata gets in his own head sometimes, too. And I think that's been one of Mexico's issues so far.
Who's Mexico's starting left back these days? I don't even know off the top
of my
head.
Last two times out, I was just looking at this. They've started two different guys. Jesus Gallardo has started. He started against Honduras in a 3-0 victory in the game against El Salvador, which they won 2-0. And there was a little bit of rotation there. So Tata was tinkering a bit because of just tired legs and everything else. Osvaldo Rodriguez is the guy who started there. So he's a 25-year-old who plays at León. So they've got a couple of Liga MX left backs who are their starters there.
I'll say this. For a guy that's 25 years old playing in Lyon, it's got to be intimidating with Serginho Dest, the guy at Barcelona, is lining up in front of you.
Sure.
You know? But that being said, I think Mexico overall has a lot of confidence.
You know that the all of that kind of goes out the window when it's USA Mexico. Here's my
other thing about starting Dest, though. Like, it's US Mexico, dude. This shit's going to get physical and ugly. Does Dest do well in ugly physical games? Is that his game? Like, he'll earn some fouls. But do we have a free kick taker? No.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, I think you don't look at Chucky Lozano or Tecatito Corona and say those guys are going to be physical. But they do. They fight, right? They have the attitude. Yeah. I think Serginho Dest has an attitude. I think he can bring it. I think if you have the right kind of mentality in the team before the game, you can. I mean, the guy seems like he's so laid back all the time.
I don't think that has the attitude you're thinking, Matt. I think attitude is like, hey, don't scratch my handbag. It's Louis Vuitton. You know, I just don't see it, man. I'd rather have a fighter, man. Tim Weah is a fighter.
Who is that then? Is Tim Weah your fighter? Tim Weah is a boxer.
I think he's a fighter,
out there, dude. Okay.
I think he's a fighter, yeah.
That's probably
I think Pepe
true.
Could be a fighter as well. I think against Mexico, if there's ever a game you want Ricardo Pepe starting, it's this Mexico game.
Oh,
this
dude's got
a chip on his shoulder.
There's no question about
that. He's got something to prove.
Yeah.
And you want to have a guy that's going to set him up. And I will say this. Dest, we did say he missed a sitter for Barcelona today. He did have a nice assist on the only goal of the game for Barcelona, like the 96th minute or something like that.
That's my Ricardo Pepe drop, and we'll talk. Let's talk about Ricardo Pepe a little bit, okay? So swirling rumors around Ricardo Pepe are fascinating right now. He is obviously an in-demand player. He clearly has that scent of goal, the eye for goal. He knows how to score. His game, in other ways, is still evolving and rounding into form, and it's kind of tough to know exactly what kind of forward he's going to be that way. But because he's 18 and because he scores, there are lots of teams apparently in for him. There are reports that he has asked and handed in an official transfer. I don't even know what that means, Jared.
Hasn't started the last two games. Do you know anything about why he hasn't started the last two games?
Well, I don't. That's a good question.
I don't
question.
Think he's even dressed those two games, if I remember correctly.
Steve Davis, who does television commentary for FC Dallas, went on Twitter ahead of the weekend and said, they're not sitting him down to protect him because of a transfer, because that makes no sense.
There's no playoffs, and they have no playoffs.
They don't
have
any
to play
playoffs.
For.
It just doesn't make it. It's a good question, but I mean, it doesn't make any sense to sit him down if you're transferring him, because you're not doing that until January anyway. Like, what's the point of that? I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of like you can't mess up what you haven't, like. If his value is high, the right teams are asking, and they're happy with the money that's out there. Starting him really has more of a chance of lessening that than making him go higher.
I don't know. I don't know. I will. I'm going to push that.
Look at Daryl DK, man. Dude got hurt at the wrong time.
No, that's true. But I think Ricardo Pepe's star is brighter than Daryl DK's ever was. I mean, that's obviously because he scored for the national team. I guess that's part of it. Jackie says he had a cut on his foot. I think there may be something to that. There may be some small injury he's dealing with. It's not necessarily anything nefarious or behind the scenes. However, that does lead us to, you know, should he go and where should he go? And we've had a question on Twitter about where he should go, but I think that presumes he's going. Are we 100% going?
Rumors are he's asking for a transfer. I mean, first of all, yes, I think he should go.
You think he should go. Not is he going? You think he should go?
I think he should go for him, a couple different reasons.
Or for the national team.
Both, if it's the right. Okay, this is where he goes is important, because you shouldn't go if you're going to go to a place that you're not going to get play time, because that is going to be so. The rumors you heard, like just this weekend, Man U and Liverpool are talking about him now. That's what's being talked about. Like, don't go there, kid. Don't go there. Okay.
I mean, Man
we need you ready in January. I mean, there's games in January. There's games in February.
Sure.
He's not going to have a starting spot in minutes at Man U or Liverpool in that time. And me, as a selfish U.S. national team, I'm everything I'm saying is from a U.S. national team perspective, not a Ricardo Pepe perspective. So I say I like the rumors when they talk about Wolfsburg and Ajax. Those are the ones when I hear those names out there, and those are two of the leading ones from what's out there right now. I like the idea of those teams. I like the idea of what that means and the potential minutes that he could get while also getting a stage. And Bundesliga is a great platform for Americans. We've seen that over and over. Ajax, no one turns out strikers onto better teams better than Ajax. So
yeah,
if that's where he goes, you got to feel good about that.
Okay, so those are the two teams from... Okay, well, Wolfsburg is a little scary. I don't know.
They're not playing well.
No.
But all the more reason why you may want them to go there, because they need a guy to turn their fortunes.
I do agree that a place like... Wolfsburg is a Champions League level club. Let's not forget about that. It's not like there's some dregs of the Bundesliga. I like the idea of Wolfsburg over Liverpool, over United, over anybody else that's been mentioned. And there's some Borussia Dortmund. Now, the only way the Borussia Dortmund makes sense is if Erling Haaland's leaving this summer or at some point in the near future. And I find it hard to... Here's the thing that continually confuses and confounds me. I'm confused and I'm confounded. How does the World Cup affect any of this? Now, I don't think FC Dallas has a choice. They're not going to be able to hold on to Ricardo Pepi until after the 2022 World Cup. It's just not going to happen. That is too far out. But we're talking about clubs like Dortmund, who is going to have so many teams in for Erling Haaland at insane numbers. Are they going to be able to hold on to him until after the... Does it even matter for a player like Haaland? So if Dortmund sells Haaland, say next summer, is that okay for Ricardo? I'm not saying Ricardo Pepi is Erling Haaland, by the way, but is it okay for Pepi to suddenly be there at Dortmund? Ajax is interesting. Now, they've got a decent striker of their own who can score goals and has done so in the Champions League and everything else, Sebastian Haller. But I think he's 27, and his value is not going to get any higher at this point. So maybe Ajax would be considering selling him. Red Bull Salzburg is the other one. Shout out to Steve. That's an incredible... I think that's the place that makes me the most comfortable. It's not the highest level. Clearly, we're watching Brennan Aaronson run circles around people in the Austrian Bundesliga. The kid is a good player.
Thierry Henry's noticed, though, that Salzburg gets you on the map.
No, that's what I'm saying. Salzburg is obviously a stepping stone, and Aaronson may end up at Leipzig sooner rather than later, because that's the natural place for him to go.
Here's the pick your poison for you, sir, and we've mentioned both of these teams now.
Okay, here we go.
You're Ricardo Pepi's agent.
Oh, okay, great.
Same amount of money.
What kind
Same
of car am I buying money. After all this is over? That's what I'm thinking about.
Same amount of money.
Yeah.
Are you going to Red Bull Salzburg or Ajax?
I am going to... Man, you know, that might be a coin flip. I know that... I'm going to... Give me a
now,
second.
Now, we know that Ajax is a better team classically than Salzburg.
Yes.
Ajax probably more competition in terms of a striker role, more talent on the team probably.
Yes.
Salzburg, though, isn't afraid to let people go, just like Ajax, if once they've reached a certain plateau.
Right.
What do you think?
Wow. I think based on recent results and, man, even with their history. Okay. I'll take Ajax. I'll take Ajax. I am almost intoxicated enough by the Red Bull program and the almost guaranteed opportunity to go to Leipzig at some point. But at the same time...
Yeah, but Marsh might already destroyed Leipzig by the time that comes around.
Oh, my God. I mean, look at what... Who's the kid they sold to Leicester? Who is the kid that Red Bull sold? I mean, obviously, Erling Haaland stands out as an example of that as well. But who's the kid they sold to... Paxton...
It's to Leipzig, right?
To Leicester. The kid from Salzburg. Somebody's going to pull his name. He just scored 4 goals, I think, in the Europa League. And somebody will give me his name in a second. It's okay. It's my old man brain failing.
I don't see Nick typing right now. He's got one hand up. He's not helping you.
Datsun Paka, thank you very much. See, it's in there. It's in the chat. He was at Salzburg, rather. He makes a move, and he's obviously... Now, I'm not saying Leicester is, you know, the top of the level in the Premier League, but that's a pretty damn good club.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of move that Ricardo Pepi could have... Could have
so
in
you're
his
going
future.
With you're going with Ajax. I'm going with Ajax as well. You know, there's just something about the magic of Ajax. You know, for me, you know, so what I start thinking when I think Americans Ajax,
it is
Patson I start
Daka,
getting
not Datsun Paka. That's
I start getting my John O'Brien kind of stiffy down there. You know, when I start thinking about Americans at Ajax, love me some John O'Brien.
That's not,
I start feeling that's, good.
That, no one needs to hear. Oops, no one needs to hear about your O'Brien stiffy. That's just.
It's a drink you can order in a pub.
If you get what do you get in a glass if you ask for an O'Brien stiffy? What's in there?
There's definitely Bailey's.
There's some Irish whiskey in there. There's some Bailey's. Oh, what else is
Bailey's
in there?
Is in there for
it's
sure.
Got to be something different, like something that doesn't make any sense in that drink. For some reason,
I think there's probably Red Bull in that.
Oh. Okay.
Ironically.
Yeah. It's like Four Loco, Jameson, and Bailey's with the float.
For the record, Nikki Soup of Salad's going on the Red Bull Salisbury.
Well, let's bring in Nicholas Soup of Sushi and get him in the show.
Oh, because he might go to Manchester?
The sausage
is that what
king
you
of Chicago.
What'd you say?
Because he might go to Manchester United. Is that what we want Nick in here?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Manchester United's
on
the list.
Zero chance he ends up there.
And he's not going to end up there.
It looks like you need a forward, dude.
For anybody who missed the bonus show or doesn't know what happened last week, Nick did eat the sushi as part of his bet after betting that FC Cincinnati would have more points than LA Galaxy this year. If you did not get a chance to watch the video, it's on the YouTube page. It's incredible. It's very well done. Nick's a trooper. He ate the
sushi.
Are we
going to get like a vlog style, like day in the life when you shave your beard and have your wife like yelling at you and screaming at you, don't do it?
I think she shouldn't tell her and just film her reaction.
We need to have your 13-year-old filming it and just have her behind you the whole time just shaking her head like this is not the right move.
No, just shave it.
Why are you guys trying to get
me
divorced?
Walk into the room. See her.
I'm not trying to get you divorced. You're the one that made the bet.
Yeah.
I didn't make the bet.
I made a bet about I stupidly made a bet about my beard.
I didn't realize your whole marriage was hinging on your facial hair.
She doesn't like the guy without the facial hair. She only likes this guy. It's like a superhero thing. It's an alter ego.
It's temporary.
Nobody needs to see it.
All right, Nikki Soup and Salad. Why are you going Salzburg instead of Ajax? What do you like about that?
I've been burned by the Dutch system way too many times. Whether it's Louis van Gaal at Manchester United and now Jaap Stam and Gerard Nijkamp at FCC. I don't want to be involved with anything Dutch.
There's a record here. They have a track record. Luis Suarez and all kinds of guys have come out. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, all kinds of guys have come through Holland and become top strikers. And I don't know that Ricardo
Josie Pepe's... Altidore.
Okay, so
that wasn't at Ajax, right?
Look, that guy's still...
He said Holland. He said Holland.
I said Holland. I was generally speaking. By the way, Josie Altidore has had an incredible national team career. Okay, I know he's not what he once was, and it's tough, and we're all struggling with his role in 2018 World Cup cycle and everything. But if Ricardo Pepi has Josie Altidore's national team career, I'd be okay with that.
National team career, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that means for his club career, but there we go. I don't know. So you're saying no to the Dutch, yes to the Austrians.
Yeah, just me personally. Again, I've got bitter memories of what has happened with me and my teams and the Dutch system. That's just me.
Okay. All right. Well, that doesn't sound like you're really thinking about Ricardo Pepi in his future.
That's some Jaap Stam PTSD right there.
I think
it sounds like you won't, you're not going to, I don't know.
It sounds like you're kind of racist against the Dutch, to be honest. No. Is that a race? No.
Damn, dog.
What I'm seeing is Brandon Aaronson doing well at Salzburg. Uh-huh. I watched Erling Haaland do some good things at Salzburg.
He did.
Jesse Marsh.
Well, yeah.
I would pick Salzburg.
Okay.
Right on, man. I don't think there's a bad decision between those two, honestly. I think that's either one of those, I think, ends up being a decent shout for Ricardo Pepi, assuming he plays. And at the end of the day, I think that's all any of us really want to see out of this move is that he plays. You know, even if it's Wolfsburg,
this is why it's so hard for me as a national team fan. You're saying, this is me as a national team fan. He needs to go to Ajax, or he needs to go now. If he goes, he will get winter soccer. We hope if he plays, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
If he plays, he gets winter soccer that keeps him sort of sharp for, or probably sharp for, January and March windows, which is I am concerned about. But also, like, if he goes and he just doesn't play, is that the best scenario? I do believe, I haven't seen any of this thing confirmed, but I'm going to guess that there's going to be an extended national team camp leading up to the January games for the U.S.-based players. I don't know how exactly.
I would think so. I don't know if there'll be a fixture in there anywhere, if it'll just be a training camp. But I think the other CONCACAF teams are worried about the same thing, right?
Yeah, they have to be. Do you call in 23 players and play a friendly if you're going to flush out 18 of those guys?
I think you do. I think you do still, because I think if there's anything that has been seen over this last two windows so far, is that you got to go deeper than you think you do on the roster.
Yeah.
And so for the guys out there that are on the fringe, there's still a chance that someone that does not even have a cap yet. There's a chance someone doesn't have a cap yet is going to Dubai.
Look like at the moment, speaking of transfers, that Daryl Dike is going anywhere. I mean, I haven't heard anything in so long.
We're waiting for January, though, dude.
Yeah, okay. So that's a player I would want to see. And I don't know, maybe with Josie out, maybe Daryl's window is back open for the games against Mexico and Jamaica? I mean, just real quick, and I do want to talk about another American in a transfer in a second, but if you don't have Josie, you're bringing Ricardo Pepi. There's no question about that. What does the rest of your striker group look like? How many are you bringing, first of all? Two, three?
Man, I think you're bringing just pure number nines. That's
pure number nine,
right?
Center forwards.
I think you bring three.
And I know you said PFOC earlier, so you're going with him?
Because you have Zardes out. I think you want someone that's been around a bit, that's played a number of games with the national team already. I think PFOC kind of fits that bill. I don't think you go to Sargent. I think you end up maybe having Pepi, PFOC, and maybe DK. I just don't know what that third position is. That Oof. Maybe Sargent sneaks in just from a comfort standpoint, but yeah. We were talking about earlier about it's not, we said earlier, we want Pepi to go someplace where he's going to get games. That's not the only thing, though, because Josh Sargent is the perfect example of going someplace where you're getting games, but you're not getting the right games. You're not getting the right kind of experience. Josh Sargent's playing, but he's losing 7-0, and he's not getting anything out of his experience right now.
Yeah. Okay, so we mentioned Weston McKennie earlier. He started and played against Inter Milan in a draw for Juve. He is constantly getting roasted by Juve fans online, on Twitter. For his performances, I don't think he's a disaster, but he may not be at the level that Juve fans expect out of their midfield. And you could say this about Locatelli right now. You could say it about any number of players who are lining up for Juve in that midfield. And Allegri is trying to figure it out. Do you think Weston McKennie needs to go? There are some pretty significant links for a move in January. People talking about him being the expendable one. Maybe Allegri's putting him in the shop window a little bit. Is a place like, say, Aston Villa a good landing spot for
I think West Ham's the place that people have been kind of linking him to for a
Both
while
of them
now,
have been mentioned, but yes.
I think McKennie does need to get out. I think, first of all, because Juventus is just a sinking ship right now. They're listless.
They're kind of back to just staying level.
There's no direction is the thing. And
but that's why they brought in Maxi Allegri, because the guy's won there before. So wouldn't you expect them to have direction?
McKennie's going to be their whipping boy as long as he's there, because it's easy. He's the American. Yeah. And he's not playing great. He's not playing necessarily bad, I don't think. But it's easy. And his value is probably the highest it's going to be anytime soon. Let him get a move. Get him out of a position, a place that's... Listen, while he's been there, he's had COVID protocol issues. Also, like he's had with it. Like, does he need to be around a different set of people? He might need to be around a different set of people. Is the English media what you really want him around right now? That I don't know.
That's a good point. But I was going to say, what you're saying is the Italians are interesting and the English are boring, so he should go to England. That's what you're telling me? Are you being racist?
If you go to West Ham and now you're in London and you got the English press, don't rob Weston McKennie going to have some fun. But it does worry me a little bit. But I think Weston McKennie should make a move. I really kind of wanted to stick it out.
Tottenham in London as well. That's not any better. That's not great.
I think McKennie needs to move just for the sake of. I think he needs to see what he is outside of that place.
Okay. I kind of agree. It will mean downgrading, right? He's not going to be at one of the most famous clubs in Europe in his next spot. It's not going to happen. And obviously, Juve is not what they used to be right now. But he's not going to be the Champions League level, probably. Like, I don't see anybody in the Champions League right now coming in for Weston McKennie.
I don't think McKennie needs to be at a Champions level team.
Okay.
He needs to be a team where it's going to utilize him. Because here's the thing. Juventus has been between the two coaches so far, we don't know what Weston McKennie's position is for Juventus, or even sometimes for the national team, to be honest with you. But when he went from Schalke to Juventus, what role did we think he was? Holding defensive midfielder, right? Somewhere in that range?
Probably.
He's played on the front line, I think, half the games for Juventus.
No, he's been mostly in a midfield trio, from what I can tell.
And also, in the midfield, he's been advanced, and he has been on the forward line as well.
This is what I said. Allegri keeps talking about the kid's got 10 goals or 12 goals in him. And like, okay, really? Does he? How? How does he? If you can't figure things out, never mind. I don't want to get into Juve. Steve says McKennie.
Oh, here we go. How about this? How about McKennie to Newcastle? There you go.
They got money to spend. Yeah, and Newcastle's not London. Let me just say that.
Here's the thing. You don't think Newcastle wants an American? They want to sell some jerseys in the U.S.
Oh, man. But Newcastle
here's an interesting question. Uh-huh. Newcastle has money to spend.
Have you seen the costumes they've been wearing on Tyneside?
I haven't seen,
not good. They got bought by Saudi Arabians, right? It's not good. I'll tell you it's not good.
I can imagine. but if you're Newcastle... and you got money to spend, and you want to sell jerseys in the U.S., what American player do you splash cash on?
Ricardo Pepi. Ricardo Pepi.
You think that's the guy that you bring Ricardo Pepi? That's the guy that's going to sell jerseys?
Yes, because you're going to start him. He's going to score goals, and then every Mexican American on the planet's going to buy a Ricardo Pepi Newcastle.
I'm thinking
shirt.
Like Pulisic isn't featuring for Chelsea. You know he's not necessarily a starter there right now. You give him an opportunity at Newcastle. He's a name already.
Interesting. How much do you think it would take for Newcastle to buy Christian Pulisic from Chelsea right now?
What'd they get him for Dortmund? 60, 40, 45?
65.
Was it 65? Was it
million?
Much?
Yes. Dollars. Sorry.
Think he's worth that. I think it's less.
Okay.
I think
That's why I'm asking you. How much does it take?
If he got there, 45? 60, 65. I think he's 45 to 50 right now.
45 to 50. Okay. All right. Real quick. So Major League Soccer is coming down the last couple of weeks. I just heard that New England came back and drew with Orlando because that's what New England does. They just get points. They're not supposed to
they
anymore.
They cared about the last 10 minutes.
And what? Yeah, they're like the NBA. They only care about the last 10 minutes. I don't know where that leaves them. How many points do they have now towards the
they're
record?
They're sitting on 70 right now.
Okay, so they need 3 points to break the record.
Oh, here's funny. You don't have it in front of you, right? Well, how many points does the second place team in the East have?
Oh, that
New
is
England
like,
is on 70.
Yeah, that's like 50. I think they're on 50.
49. Well done.
Yeah, Philadelphia's on 49. Yep. I've been looking at these a lot because I have a radio show. I don't know if you knew that. I do have a radio show. Cover MLS all the time, the MLS Cup playoffs. Here's what I wanted to ask you. And look, we obviously this is getting tight. Only one team in the East has booked their place with three games to go, two games for New England, four games for New York and Atlanta. That's pretty incredible. So there. The salary numbers just dropped from the MLSPA. They spit out all the numbers. You know, these are not 100% accurate. People will tell you that, but they're a pretty good guide. I wanted to ask you, considering we're talking about, you know, young American players making moves to Europe and all this stuff, right now, who do you think is the highest paid American player in Major League Soccer? Could you guess if I gave you some shots here?
I can make some guesses. So I got to do like a little bit of mental...
Okay.
Calculations in my head because it can either be a journeyman that's been in the MLS the whole time, or it could be an allocation dude that was a national team player that came back late in his career and someone overpaid to bring back.
Okay.
I don't think there's any young DP Americans right now.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go my number one, I would say, that makes sense to me based off of what they've given to the team. And where they've been, and it's been one team for a while. I'm going to say Jordan Morris.
Jordan Morris is definitely not the highest paid American player. Not even close. Man. No. No. Do you want me to give it to you?
Hold on. Let me make a couple more guesses.
Okay. All right. I think you're overthinking.
Nick wants to guess, by the way.
I think you're... Okay, Nick, come on. Come on the air. If you haven't looked at this and you know...
I have not looked, but I'm guessing Michael Bradley.
The Sausage King of Chicago. Oh,
no, Michael Bradley took a pay cut. Michael Bradley is not it.
So you Jose Altidore, neither, right?
Who is it?
Jose Altidore?
It is Jose Altidore. Jose Altidore is the highest paid American player in Major League Soccer. He currently makes $3.6 million per year.
How
many minutes has he played this
year?
Not a lot of minutes. He did just score for Toronto free kick this weekend. So he's not done. So it goes Carlos Vela, Javier Hernandez, Gonzalo Higuain, Alejandro Pozuelo, Luis Araújo. I'm going to say that right. Luis Araújo, because he's Brazilian. Joseph Martinez, Jose Altidore. And then...
Stop there.
Okay.
Can I guess, can Nick and I try to get the next American?
Yeah, because it's going to be a long way down the list.
So I mean, I think it's not Jordan Morris next then.
It is not Jordan Morris.
And it's not Michael Bradley.
It is not Michael Bradley. I told you he took a pay cut. Okay. He's not going to be on there.
Then I got two names I'm going back and forth between then.
Actually, Michael Bradley is after this person, okay? But there's one name between Altidore and Bradley.
Is it? Man, I've got two that I want to go back. But neither one, I think, maybe gets enough money out of this. My two are either Legette or Areola.
Okay, so both those guys make good money.
Nick, you have someone else?
Neither of them.
My only concern is the position. I'm going to say Guzan.
It is not Brad Guzan. No. I don't think you're going to get this guy, although you probably should. If you think about how good
Jeff Cameron?
No. You should based on how good he is at his position, but there's something about this player that keeps him off the radar.
Oh, I know.
Who is it?
Is it Nagbe?
It is Darlington Nagbe. Nagbe.
Oh, that
after,
makes sense.
Yes, Darlington Nagbe.
All the guys does is lift trophies.
$1.7 million. So you go from 3.6 down to 1.7, and then Michael Bradley's on 1.5. Jossie Zardes is on 1.4. Let's see, who else? Jordan Morris is on 1.27, so he's not too far down. But it just tells you, like, Americans don't make, they don't make the big bucks, that's for sure. Let's see, who else? Kellen Acosta is on $1 million, basically.
So we still have not gotten to Ariola, Morris, or
Omar Gonzalez.
Or Legette.
Omar Gonzalez is on a base of 780,000.
Okay, we just got to realize that Toronto super overpaid to get one championship a few
Paul
years
Ariola.
Ago.
$1 million, basically. So right there.
That dude's
right?
on $1 million.
He's on $1 million.
Paul That's Ariola. Hot. You think he'd buy better hair dye.
Paul, Alejandro Bedoya also on $1 million, which I think
that
is
makes sense,
he's worth
though.
That. He's worth that, right? Did
yeah,
you
what's
say something about Paul Ariola and hair dye? What did you say?
Okay. Yeah, you think he'd buy better, like he could frost his tips better. You
oh,
know? No, like,
I see.
So, I see. Okay, who
oh,
makes
you want,
more here, money?
You want one that's hilarious? And this, I mean... I don't,
there's
I don't
no know. Way that Sebastian Jett makes more money than Becky G, right? Becky G's bringing way more money.
Oh,
than Legette,
she's
right?
clocking big checks for sure. Yeah. Although, you know, the music industry is messed up and you got to pay for your studio time and you got to debt on that. Yeah, it's not a great industry. So, yeah. Bobby Wood is on $968,000.
That name actually came into my head and I was like, if he is on this list up high, Salt Lake may do some terrible bit of business.
Did
he get loaned out to their second? Isn't he playing for their second team right now?
He needed minutes, and he wasn't getting them with the first team, so he did. He was on the list. I don't know if he actually played for their USL championship
Man,
team.
That's some softwood.
That is, that's not appropriate either. You can't say stuff like that.
I will say this. When I was putting together the sushi...
What is a... So, you've got an O'Brien stiffy and a soft... What's in a softwood?
I went back so I could pull the clip of the bet... that we made on the bonus show back in April.
Yeah,
we talked about Bobby Wood in that episode.
Did we?
Do you remember what? Do you remember what the over under on how many goals he would score would be?
Oh, I forget. It was probably around 12.
No, we didn't set it that high because at that time we were still determining that he was going to be joining mid season because of how his club.
Okay, so what did we set it at then?
We set it at 5.
Is he under?
I have no idea where he's at.
I mean, what do you,
does he even have one?
I don't think Bobby Wood has a goal for RSL. I don't think so. Does Bobby Wood have a chat? Does Bobby Wood have a goal for? I don't think I would have heard about this. Maybe it's like one. Maybe he has one goal for RSL, something like
Man.
That.
I wonder how many other players have more. Goals. I mean, every other player has.
This might be true, by the way. He subbed off for that 13-year-old in the USL. Did you know about that? There's a 13-year-old. Oh, he scored two. He scored two goals this year for RSL. Two goals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man. That's a tough bit of business right there. That's $1 million for two goals. I mean, don't get me wrong. Last year, Cheech Rito was a way bigger failure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So.
502
man,
minutes.
He was.
Two goals.
Bobby Wood.
I should have known Josie was the number one. I should have known Josie was the number
Bobby
one.
Bobby Wood
Toronto
came off.
So much money.
On Friday night, Bobby Wood came off in a game for the Real Monarchs in the USL Championship. He was replaced by 13-year-old Axel Kai. Who made his debut,
name.
The youngest ever player to make a professional appearance in American team sports.
But he's younger than a dude?
13? Yeah. That's my son's age.
13 years, 9 months,
what's his problem, dude?
Days.
Why is your son doing anything
That's
yet?
My kid's age, too. Holy my kids are a little bit younger than that, but that's my kid's age, too. Good Lord.
Think of all the things your kid can't do at 13.
like do anything for himself? Like put on deodorant in the morning?
Cook ramen.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's wild. Okay, since we have Nicholas Soup and Sushi here, this is the opportunity to bring you on and talk about any reviews.
That 13-year-old seeing like man-sized hangdowns in the locker room
now. Man, you just can't. You have to be...
Wow.
Damn, dog, that's an approach.
Like, is he even allowed to use the same showers? Like, isn't this kind of like
not,
messed
okay?
up?
Okay, let's...
Does he get one all to himself?
Probably not.
I hope so.
Protect the youth, okay? Protect the youth. Mm. Nicholas, we were on 247, I think... Are we still in that area?
I think we're 249.
Still at 247.
Still at 247. So we need three people. Three of you in this chat right now, watching this show at this moment, have not given us an Apple Podcast review. Please go do that so we can get to 250 because I like round numbers. But we do have a lot of reviews that Nick has not gotten to. Do we have any selected?
Maybe
for
we
this
need
evening?
New buzzwords.
We do need
new buzzwords.
Softwood, O'Brien Stiffy.
Softwood.
You got to work these.
Those are the two.
Those are the two. Yeah. You're going to the bar and you're ordering an O'Brien Stiffy and a softwood. That's what you do.
All right. So this review I'm going to read this week is back from September, actually. It's from Kid Cuervo. The title is It's Money, Baby. Recent newcomer to the show, and must say this is better than a cartel of octopi up to Escobar-level shenanigans.
So you did actually get the word cartel.
Oh, sorry. I was playing my swingers drop, but it's not set up for the money, baby. Never mind. Go ahead. Had some swingers stuff for you, but nah, not going to pull it off.
Yeah. A lot of these are they just wanted to get octopus cartels in there and shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely
need to
get
all of you.
I'm looking forward to the
O'Brien. You know, it's going to be interesting. I wonder if we start showing up on like oceanography podcasts because octopus is showing up in our reviews and stuff like that.
Like on the list of top oceanography podcasts?
Let's say someone's searching.
I thought you were going to say, like, do we show up on any watch lists for like the government or something? Because that might be possible.
Maybe
got cartel
my
13-year
shower remarks just now, but.
Yeah, stop doing that. Just stop saying words like that together. Don't. There's no reason for that at all. Okay, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. Over there, we do things like a bonus show every week. Last week's bonus show featured Nicholas soup and salad, sloop and sausage, soup and sushi now, eating his sushi to pay off his bet. It was a great time. Morgan joined us. That was brilliant. What else we got going on?
We had a poker game last week. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. I got called into sprinkler duty at my mom's house.
Popped in on the poker game. I did not play because I was writing a column.
So scared of losing money.
It's not that. Trust me. I wanted to play, and it really wasn't. I was supposed to be working, so I was like, oh, they're here. I'll just say hi. Next thing I know, I'm shooting the shit with the besties for an hour. So
I believe we're about a week or two out from the next bestie beer night. So if you want to get on that, that's going on as well. There's a whole Slack dedicated to that. I think today's bonus show is going to be Ted Lasso based because we have not talked finale
yet. Yeah, we're a little behind. But we are your number one Ted Lasso review pod, right?
We've given people plenty of time now to have watched it.
That's right. That's what it is. It's only a couple bucks a month to get access to the bonus show and the Slack and all that. And then there's obviously some higher level stuff. You get behind the scenes access if you want it. You can be part of the pre-show. You can listen and watch us do the bonus show live if you give us enough money every month. Yeah. So,
Matt's in here right now on the background of the stream right now.
He's seeing all the private chat, right? He's seeing all the names you're calling me behind the scenes.
Before we get out, two bits of business. First, a shout out. We got a bestie whose wife's going through a tough time right now, Connor. We want to say thoughts are with him and his wife right now. They're going through some tough stuff and really hope you got a bunch of people in the Slack, a great community behind you right now. We're with you. Let us know what you need, man. And no show next week because it's Halloween.
Yeah, we're too scared to do a show. That's basically what that is, right? It's too creepy.
I'm too scared of my wife if I do a show.
it is prime trick or treat time for you. Our show time is prime trick or treat time for you.
That
for me,
is
it's way too late. I'd be done already.
It's prime sitting with my fireplace in my driveway time. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So no live show, but that only gets us more energy to build up towards Mexico and Jamaica. All expectations are that we're doing post game shows for both of those matches. But stay tuned. Follow along. Follow us on Twitter at Besties.
We'll see
Soccer.
Whether the WNBC comes calling.
And yeah, and follow us on Twitter. On Instagram at the Best Soccer Show. That we're building that up. We got a bunch of stuff popping off over there. And yeah, there's no reason not to follow us on social media. Is that it? Is that the whole show? Are we done?
Is that the end?
Is that it? Did we finish it all? Okay, guys, we're going to talk to you not next week, the week after that. Bye.
Michael freaking Arrasco Fiscal!
It's over here! Please allow the corner!
Get to the chopper!
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me!
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Danger Zone!
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Yeah. You better coordinate.
Go to DEFCON 2.
Playing hot dogs and donuts with two fangirls in the locker room?
Someone seems to think you have talent. But unfortunately, this is Los Angeles. I need more than talent. I need stars. Enjoy the party.
Jay Rodius.